Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Rob, this is going to be very, very quick. If you had to give us your top four, your four favorite Boulevard beers, what would they be? I ask you that because I just got the email from the Royals about what their promotions are for the weekend. And did you know that on Friday, they are doing a Space Camper Coolie for the first 10,000 fans age 21 or older? If you want me to get you one of these Space Camp Coolies, I'm happy to get you one of these. I know that Space Camper is a beverage that you enjoy. If you had to throw out your favorite Boulevard beers, how would you kind of rank them?
It's like a quick Mount Rushmore.
I'm curious where you, I know you're a Tank 7 individual.
Tank 7's on the list, 100%.
Okay.
I would probably put Space Camper on the list. I'm really big fan of Space Camper. I think you got to go with, you know, the OG. So Boulevard Wheat probably makes the list.
Okay.
And then I would say I'm between, you know, I'll put their Nutcracker Ale up there. Nutcracker Ale.
Which one narrowly missed the list for you? Like, which one was on the outside looking in? What was on the bubble?
Just on the bubble would have been Bob's 47 and Pale Ale, or just on the outside looking in.
Mm. I don't think I've ever heard of this Bob's 47 before. Well, that just doesn't sound like my kind of beverage.
It's not a beer for you, but it is a very good beer.
I don't think I've ever been around you where you order one of these. You're telling me that, like, you and your wife are just having a meal and you're like, hey, you know what? Give me a Bob's 47 before. When would you have had one of these before?
And it's very popular in the fall because it's a little more.
It's a little heavy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if you were ordering a steak and then you were like, hey, can I get the Bob's 47?
No. This is more like the leaves are starting to change. We're going to sit in front of a fire pit and have a nice little evening. That's Bob's 47 territory.
Whenever you see that, too, KU's probably 1-2. And you guys are like contemplating if you're going to make a bowl game or not. Like,
is the one this year Missouri? Because I'd be fine at 1-2 this year.
No, like when you envision that scenario, you're talking about the leaves are starting to change. You know, you just got the hoodie out for the first time. KU has already lost the non-con game that they weren't supposed to lose. Like, Rice just came in and just a heartbreaker beat you guys. I just want you to know that is what has happened. All right, let's get on the same page here. Let's work together. This is what I like to talk about. Your side, the KU side, the Kansas side, the deadline is 1 week away. We had State Representative Dan Hawkins on this radio show, this fine radio program. I'll take you in the Wayback Machine. He was on the show on May 19th, so not that long ago. The Star Bonds deadline is coming up on Monday. It is June 30th. We asked him, hey, is that a hard deadline, or do you guys plan on moving it based on information? Here's what he said.
I would say right now my position is it's a hard deadline. And I don't know what would be out there to change it. I think we have enough time. I believe we have enough time between now and the deadline to get things done. And I expect both teams to come with a proposal before the deadline.
All right. So that is Dan Hawkins, who was on the show last month, and that's what he had to say. There's a report right now. This is the report says, multiple sources tell me that the Chiefs have canceled 5 real estate contracts in Kansas and are believed to have signaled a stay at Arrowhead. Same sources say that both teams have made decisions. I asked each what they believe will happen, and all they have said is that they think that the Royals are heading to the Legends in KCK, as they don't believe they can win any vote in Missouri by Missouri taxpayers. Chiefs believe that Jackson County voters will give them what they want. Not finalized, but both teams are expected to share information in the next week or so. So that is the most recent rumor that is out there circulating about the Kansas City Royals and the Chiefs. Now, let's start with this. I don't think the Legends makes a whole lot of sense for the Royals. I think the Royals' biggest problem with their stadium is weekday attendance. Now, we can get into all the different reasons, but we have far more than enough data that would suggest that residents of the Kansas City metro area are not super interested in going to Royals games during the week. We go to major important games. We go to games on the weekend, but when school starts and it's during the week and or people do not go out to Kauffman Stadium in big numbers. I don't think that moving to the Legends really solves that problem. I think it simply transfers the problem. That I use somebody like Rob. Rob, how far away do you live from the Legends? Probably 15, 20 minutes? Somewhere
ballpark,
in there.
Yeah, right. It's a little bit shorter than the stadium is now, but yeah, it's ballpark, yeah.
I don't know if it's simply being on the Kansas side is enough of a movement for you 5, 7 years from now to go out to the Legends on a Tuesday to go watch them play. Where I think the hope is for the Royals is if they have a day game and they're downtown, I think they're hoping that people will just simply leave work, take a half day. Hey, I work right here. Why don't I just walk over and go to the game? Or if the Royals have a first pitch at 6:10, well, I get off work at 5. Why don't I stay down here? I'll grab something to drink, and then I'll walk over to the stadium. That the Royals, I think, are hoping to catch some foot traffic. You know, they talk all the time about location, location, location. So I think that's what the Royals' biggest problem is. The Royals need to be in the mix. The Chiefs don't need to be in the mix. The Chiefs don't need foot traffic because people will go wherever they go. It doesn't matter where they put them. They could put them in Warrensburg. They could put them in Chillicothe or Tonganoxie. You are going to go wherever the Chiefs are. I don't know if that's the case with the Royals. Not on a Tuesday, not on a Wednesday. I got more than enough evidence that would suggest that if that game happens, you will probably just stay home. And eventually, the newness of the stadium will wear off, and then we'll just get back to old habits. Hey, I'll go out there this weekend when they play the Dodgers. I'm not super interested in going on there on a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday when they're playing the Tampa Bay Rays. So I just don't know if moving to the Legends changes what the Chiefs, or excuse me, the Royals' biggest issue is, which I think it is midweek attendance. So I just don't know if the Legends is a very viable place for the Royals, and I think they are just in the same situation. You know, I love the wire analogy. It's simply changing the caps from red to blue. They're in the exact same spot that they're in right now. Now, the Chiefs, I think, is very interesting. Now, maybe this is me looking at it through a Missouri lens, and I'm willing to accept that, but we have seen organizations play a possible move against their home base. We see this happen all the time. I mean, it happened to Kansas City. I remember there being a time where we all were really excited about the possibility of getting an NBA team or NHL team. I mean, we were real confident we were going to get the Pittsburgh Penguins. They were very unhappy with their situation. Pittsburgh was dragging their feet. They used us. They played us. There's never been any conversation since then about us getting anywhere close to getting them. They played us to get this thing done. Is it not possible, I'm just throwing it out there, that that is what is happening with Kansas? That all of the back and forth, that all of this was simply made to drum up the offer that they really wanted from the beginning, which is to stay where they are. Because you remember that Clark Hunt wants a dome story kind of just appeared out of nowhere. Like, wait, you guys asked for a renovation just a year ago, had never mentioned a dome. Now, right before the Missouri thing's coming, oh, we really want a dome. And then magically it got passed. I'm just simply asking, is it a possibility that Kansas has been played in all of this. And I will throw this out there, Rob, and I do want your opinion. If Kansas is real and this is a hard deadline, which I just don't believe, and let's say that the Chiefs go to them and say, hey, we need more time. Hey, can you guys give us another 30 days, another 60 days? I don't know what other indication you would need other than that the Chiefs are playing Kansas if that's the case. The Kansas offer can't change. There are no changes to it. It's been the same offer tomorrow that it was 6 months ago, that it was a year ago. Everybody knows what is on the table on the Kansas side. I don't really know what more time you would need to think about the Kansas offer. You've had 360-something days to think about what Kansas is offering. If you were trying to buy more time and extend this, to me, you are only trying to extend it to continue your relationship with Missouri and try to get more money out of that side, whether it's through the county or whether that's through the city. I don't really know why you would need to go past June 30th if your intentions are to move to Kansas. If that's what the Chiefs' plans are, it certainly would make a lot of sense to me. But if this thing continues to prolong and we are talking about this the entire summer, in my opinion, that is less and less and less that the Chiefs' actual intention is to go over to Kansas and that their plan is to stay on the Missouri side and simply renovate Arrowhead Stadium.
So I get your point. I also think, though, we're about a week and a half, maybe 10 days removed from Missouri finally having an actual offer. It is possible both the Chiefs and Royals, who are probably far more in the know than me and you, knew that, hey, the Missouri deal is going to get done. We've talked to Mike Kehoe. We've talked to whoever. We think this Missouri deal is going to get done. Now they are going to spend the next 10, 20, 30, however long days, really getting into the nitty-gritty of each respective deal for them as a business. Because, and we had Matt Evans on the show, and I can pull the date. The bill got passed like the second week of June, and now it's the third, fourth week of June, and they could be evaluating both proposals because the Missouri one is so relatively new. And I can pull the audio. John Kett's on with Cody and Gold as the Missouri deal is getting done, that the Kansas side is willing to have a special session and extend the star bond on the idea that they could be nearing a deal. So I get your point. It could be, hey, the Chiefs just keep kicking the can down the road and the Royals could keep getting the can down the road with Kansas just to keep running up the leverage score. It could be for the first time in this 18-plus month process, they can really sit down and evaluate each side's proposal. Hey, Missouri's going to offer this, but here's a con. The Kansas side can offer this, but here's a con. It's possible they are really getting into the weeds of this thing and need more time because the Missouri deal is 12 days old. It got signed 12 days ago. The Kansas one has not changed, but now the Chiefs and Royals can legitimately look at them next to each other for the first time. So it could be as simple as we just need more time. It's not a leverage play.
Yeah, I guess, though, to me, if you are asking for an extension in business, I just don't know why it's more time to think and not more time to continue to get more leverage out of one of the situations. Like, I hear what you were saying. Maybe it's not that. And maybe the team just want to absolutely take all of their time to do it. But, I mean, the options to me just seem very, very simple. At this point, there are only two options for the Chiefs. I think it's a little bit different for the Royals. I think the Royals have three, four possibilities. The Royals could be in North Kansas City. The Royals could be on 119th and all. The Royals could be in downtown Kansas City. The Chiefs have two options. It is throw $1 billion into their current stadium and spruce it up and try to keep that viable for the next 20, 25 years, or tear it down and build a brand new state-of-the-art stadium in Kansas. It is not an option to do that on the Missouri side. We're not talking about three options. Either tear down Arrowhead and build one right next to it. Renovate what you already have. So that's why, at least to me with the Kansas, I don't really know why you would need another 2 months to think about if you want a new stadium or not, especially when you've already done a study. You already know what the finances are. You already have all of... There is no more information that the Chiefs can get about moving to Kansas. I refuse to believe that there is more. You've had a year to talk to Kansas. You talked to the governor. You talked to the reps. They put the package in front of you. I'm sure that they already have all of the renderings and, hey, what the stadium would look like, the Kansas offer is solidified at this point. So if this is a conversation that, to me, continues into the summer and the Chiefs are asking you to give us a little bit more time because we need to think about it, then they'll think about how they're going to stay at Arrowhead, which, again, is not a bad option. Like, I'm seeing the text line, and it's weird how I feel like over time, and maybe this is just the they have kind of teased you with the idea of new, them renovating Arrowhead and putting more money behind it is not a bad option. I don't even say that just as a Missouri person. It is a iconic, historic stadium, and putting another $500, $600, $700 million into it to continue to keep it vibrant and modern and current and make it a nicer stadium for fans, I don't think is that big of a deal. I'm sorry. As somebody who has seen the Super Bowl in other cities, Kansas City is not a Super Bowl place. The Super Bowl last year was in Las Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing, like, the goal is to move so the Chiefs could host one Super Bowl and then never be thought about again for the Super Bowl. You know where they're not going back anytime soon? Indianapolis or Detroit or Jacksonville. So, yeah, maybe Kansas City gets one Super Bowl and it's great. A majority of us can't afford to go to it. And then that's it. And then you're hoping that you're in the rotation for the Final Four. So, like, I mean, that sounds great. But if you're telling me that there is an option to keep things how they are, the only football stadium that you know, and put more money into it to make it better, more modern, more concession stands, better bathrooms, better all of the things that you already like about the stadium, that's just not a bad option to me.
No, staying and renovating is not a bad option. And I agree with your Super Bowl point, but I do think there's more to it than just a singular Super Bowl. You mentioned Indianapolis and Detroit. Those places have hosted WrestleMania or Royal Rumble or one of the big wrestling events, you know, one of the major ones. They've hosted Final Fours. They've hosted Elite Eights. They have big ticket events in their dome stadium beyond just the Super Bowl. So I get what you're saying. Yes, the Chiefs, if they were to move to Kansas and get a dome stadium, would probably be a one and done for the Super Bowl. I don't think they'd be one and done for the Final Four. I don't think they'd be one and done for WWE stuff. I don't think they'd be one and done for big major concerts. I don't think Taylor Swift would do, you know, just two nights and dip. I think you would see a lot of other stuff. So, but you're right. For the Super Bowl part is one and done. And I feel like the Royals actually, to me, are less interesting, despite the fact they have more options, because you're right. They can be in the Legends. They can be at 119th and Knoll. They can be in Washington Park. They could be at a location we've never discussed before, kind of like what came up last time. They could be in North KC. The Royals have a lot of options, but they're not as interesting to me. The Chiefs are interesting because it's basically this question. Are you going to build new and shiny, or does the allure of Arrowhead keep you there forever? And that is one of the most polarizing questions I think this area has ever felt. Look at the text line right now. You're getting half saying it's a great stadium, renovate. Half saying it's an old stadium, it's get new and shiny. It is, at its core, the Chiefs is fascinating because that one question is so polarizing to people.
Yeah, let me ask you this question, because someone says CDOT is not just a Super Bowl. We can get WrestleMania, Final Fours, and more concert options. You're right. I guess I would ask this question. What's stopping current Arrowhead from getting WrestleMania? They had it 2 years ago in Philadelphia. Philadelphia does not have a dome. Philadelphia is outside. It's the same time. It's in April. Now, I've only been to Philly one time. I'm assuming that their weather in April ain't much different than our weather in April. They've had WrestleMania in Cleveland. Why can't they have it in Kansas City, even though it's an outdoor venue? It's not like this is they only have it in Vegas where it's indoors, or they only have it in these places. No, they have it in outdoor venues too. The Final Four, yes, you're right, has to be an indoor venue. Then someone said more concert options. What concert are we missing out on with the current stadium that we have? I mean, we got Morgan Wallen, right? Beyonce came here, right? They got Taylor Swift for multiple nights. What concert have we missed out on because they don't have a new stadium? Like, they don't have a lot of these football concerts during the fall. They're used for football. It's not like Taylor Swift is going on tour in October. The stadium ain't open. Like, what concerts have we missed the last 2 years? Have I missed something? Has there been a stadium artist that has passed on Kansas City? Like, oh, well, we can't do it. Every single one that does these stadiums comes to Kansas City. The only reason they're not this summer, the only reason you didn't get Post Malone or didn't get Kendrick, is because nobody can use Arrowhead this year. If you could have, Kendrick would have been there. Post Malone would have been there. The Weeknd would have been there. Just wasn't an option this year.
That's a good point. you're right. WrestleMania specifically is in April. But Indianapolis hosted, and I honestly don't know which one. Was it Royal Rumble? It was one It was one of the winter ones where you did not want to be outdoors Indianapolis. Those sort of things now pop up on the potential list. Taylor Swift, by the way, did like a six-year tour. So she was on tour in the fall. The Chiefs could have feasibly hosted her in both May and September if they had had a dome, in theory. Like, there are... I'm not saying the options go from one or two to 500, but I do think there is a larger pool to pull from if you do have the domed, fancy new stadium. I would imagine, I mean, this is a bad analogy, if we looked at Allegiant's schedule versus Arrowhead, you would notice Allegiant has a lot more stuff going on than Arrowhead.
Yeah, and I mean,
that's Vegas.
Yeah, I think that's also a major part of it, too, which is just hard, like, The Crawford and Canelo fight. I don't care what new stadium you build. Kansas City ain't getting the Crawford and Canelo fight. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. You're just not getting it. Like, there are some events that are just simply not coming to Kansas City. I don't care how nice the stadium is. So I would say for the most part, we're really talking about a new stadium and them having the opportunity to either host the Final Four, WrestleMania, or the Super Bowl. They will host the Super Bowl one time. I don't care how great it is. They are not coming to Kansas City in February a lot. They're coming to Kansas City one time for the Super Bowl. Hey, we'll give you the one. They gave Detroit the one. They gave Minnesota the one. They gave Indianapolis. If you build a new stadium and you're not in Buffalo, they'll give you the one. Nashville will get a Super Bowl. They're building a brand new stadium. They'll put a dome over it. They will give Nashville their one Super Bowl. That's it. So, I don't want to make it seem like I'm anti-new stadium. I'm not anti-new stadium. But, I mean... Arrowhead is still really, really cool. And if you're telling me the two options are, I don't think they're bad options. One option is we can build Allegiant in KCK. The other option is we can put, they estimate, $1.1 billion into this existing structure and make it a more modern, hipper, cooler stadium that we've all been to countless times. I just don't think that either one of those are bad options. We had Dan Hawkins on the show. I'll play this for you. He believes that the Kansas offer is better than anything that Missouri can offer.
Well, I think it's going to be difficult for him because that star bond is a really strong tool to use, whereas I think the state of Missouri has to just write funds out of their treasury, and that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough for them to put a lot out there. Certainly Jackson County not being able to pass a sales tax hurt them. So I actually think we're probably, I think we're in the driver's seat on this deal. It wouldn't surprise me if we get both of them. I think it's also difficult that they couldn't pass something during the legislative session. If they would have passed something during the legislative session, it may have changed the direction of things. I know the governor of Missouri has talked about calling a special session in June, and my thought is, I've been in the legislature for 13 years. What's going to change during a special session that didn't happen during the regular session? So if they had a hard time doing it in a regular session, they're going to call a special session and do it in a day or two or three, whatever that is. I doubt that's probably going to change things a whole lot for them.
Well, I think now we have the ability to know that it did change things for Missouri and they did get this passed. I think that is important to note. The deadline and the urgency got a deal done. Is that deadline and urgency going to get a deal done here? Kansas deadline is a week from now. It's a week. All the cards are on the table on both sides about what either side wants to do. I do feel pretty good in this. I find it very unlikely that Kansas gets both now that this got passed in Missouri. Right now, we're talking about them potentially getting one of the two. I find it hard to believe they're getting both. It seems like to me now that with the financial packages, both states are convinced that we're not going to be left completely holding the bag. And if Kansas can get either one of the two, if they get the Royals over there, the Chiefs over there, I think you have to consider that to be a win. You didn't have either of them. And now you either put the baseball stadium on 119th and all, or you get the National Football League and you have a world-class soccer stadium, a world-class NASCAR track and a football stadium within a two-mile radius of each other, you got to feel really, really good about the way that things have turned out in Wyandotte County. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about the Royals, who lost a series this weekend but still had a good week. They went 4-2 on their road trip. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Hall of Famer Denny Matthews every Monday at 3.
And gone, Bobby Witt.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, we're back. I want to play this audio for you guys. Jack Caglione, he made a very athletic play this past weekend in San Diego.
And a swing and a ball well hit, deep to right field. Caglione back. Caglione leaps, and he made the catch up against the fence. Jack Caglione takes an extra base hit away from Merrill. The rookie right fielder, still learning the position, makes a great play right in front of the fence.
All right, two things. Number one, have you ever been to San Diego before? Because San Diego is kind of one of those places that I've never heard a person with a bad word to say about San Diego. Like, not a single person. Like, you and I both know somebody that doesn't like Vegas. Like, oh, so it's hot, it's expensive. Maybe people don't like going to Houston because of the traffic, or Atlanta because of the traffic, or Nashville. You don't listen to that kind of music. I've never heard a single human being say anything bad about San Diego. 100% approval rating. I've heard about San Diego. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I think this is a really encouraging sign with Jack. I think it's a really encouraging sign. He is fairly new to the position. He didn't play outfield in college. Didn't play it. That this has been a crash course in him learning a position at a professional level. In the minor league level, when they first started, and now carrying on to his Major League Baseball career, he is learning a brand new position. And I think you are getting a sense that he's certainly athletic enough to do it, that a lot of it is just feel and repetition. You don't know what you don't know, and you only know through doing it and having success and failure. Rob, you mentioned it earlier today. You and I were at his first game against the Yankees, and there were some balls that were just hitting really awkward spots where you're maybe expecting the right fielder to call it off or expecting him to be a little bit more aggressive and wanting to go make the play, and there was a miscommunication. Those things are going to happen in a new process. But I'd love to see where Jack is in a year, two, 3 years from now in a position where you get more experience, so you get more live reps, you get more individual one-on-one coaching, you get more experience. I don't think that this is going to be that tough of a transition. Like, he has the one thing that you need, athleticism. Everything else is just feel and understanding where to position yourself and how the ball is going to travel when it comes off a bat. You just have to get that through fielding more fly balls and just getting more and more experience. But I think this is a really positive sign, and he can only become more valuable in this, in learning. Like, you're talking about a guy who could be your DH, a guy that could play first base if you need him to, when you're teaching him how to play outfield. So he could play two different defensive positions, and you think he's going to develop into a power hitter that could hit 25, 30, 35 home runs in his career. Him learning outfield can only be a positive.
And I think it's a testament to whatever the Royals do in the minor leagues and major leagues to coach their players. Because someone in Texas makes this point. I know he's down now and became a whipping boy for this team, but MJ Melendez came up as a catcher. MJ Melendez, one of the reasons, but when he went down earlier this year, the thought was he's still their best defensive outfielder. He went from catcher to their best defensive outfielder in a two and a half year stretch. That's relatively unheard of. Jack Caglione was a pitcher and a first baseman and a DH. And now, I don't want to make it seem like he's Alex Gordon out there. He's not Mike Trout. He's not Griffey in his prime, but he's not a bumbling idiot out there either. You talked about that first game. I don't think all three bloops that fell in the first game are his fault. Like, maybe it was Salvi's not a natural first baseman. Indy is not the greatest ranging second baseman. But I don't know, getting all that.
They had
a problem.
And they had three problems converging into one spot multiple times. And yeah, no, a problem happened. I want to read this text really quick and let you finish, Rob. Someone said, "CDOT, we said the same thing about MJ Melendez being an outfielder, and look what happened." MJ's problem wasn't defensively. MJ's problem is that he was hitting 0.085 in the middle of May. That was his problem. His problem has been his bat, not his glove in any way. So if you're telling me that Jack can become the defensive player that MJ Melendez was, I think you'll take that. Certainly not a guy that's going to win a gold glove. Certainly not a guy that's going to be a pillar of your defense. But I think you can live with that if that's your right fielder. If that's what he can turn into as a defensive player, and then he can end up giving you the bat that you're talking about, I think you're actually pretty happy with that.
I would agree you're happy with that. I just think that would be a pretty big hurdle, because I think, you know, Isbell's their best defensive outfielder. Melendez was probably their best defensive corner outfielder. So, like, that's a pretty big hurdle. But he just needs to be a net zero in the field. There are going to be games where it looked like the first one at Kauffman Stadium again. Other ballparks, new environment, all those things. It's possible he has another game where you're like, oof, it doesn't look great. As long as he can balance those out, or defensive games like he had yesterday against the Padres and makes that play, you will take that. Because the Royals are betting, and this is their big bet this season. They didn't bet big in free agency. This is their big bet. Their thought is his bat will eventually come around and he'll be such a positive at the plate that as long as we can keep him as a net zero defensively, we are better off. That is what the Royals signified by bringing him up. It was not that he's the savior to the offense. It was not that, look, he picked up right field faster. No, the Royals bet this year by bringing him up when they brought him up is simple. We think he can be just survive in advance in the outfield. And so far, you days like yesterday make you think that he not only can be survive in advance in the outfield, he has a chance to be a little bit of a plus outfielder.
I would also say that one of the Royals' biggest problems is that Kyle Isbell plays every day for them. That on most teams, Kyle Isbell is your fourth outfielder and he is a defensive replacement. I mean, Kyle Isbell has 22 home runs in his career. He's been playing for 5 years and he has 1,200 at-bats. He has 22 home runs. In his career.
I just think left field's the bigger problem. I mean, maybe it's six in one hand, half
does
the other.
Yes, is the answer. And this is not an anti-Kyle Isbell. I'm just saying is, if you were telling me that the Royals have a 234, 281 on-base percentage, so he doesn't really get for hits. He doesn't really get on base. He's not a guy that drives in runs for you. He doesn't hit home runs. If that's your best defensive outfielder, then that guy should just be a replacement then. You transition Kyle Isbell to be your fourth outfielder and a guy that plays once, twice a week. He played 136 games last year. He's playing 68 games so far this year. So we're talking about Kyle Isbell in back-to-back years playing 136, maybe 130, 135 games. You want to know why the Royals' offense is a problem? Kyle Isbell plays every day. They got other problems, but just the fact that you haven't found, hey, we're willing to sacrifice a little bit defensively to get a guy that can hit home runs and drive in runs for us from our outfield spot is just one of the Royals' problems that they have. I know that they had some issues this weekend with Angel Zerpa and some bullpen issues, and I get all of that. If you score less than three runs the way the Royals did on both games this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, then you put yourself in a position where you can lose, where your margin for error is just so razor thin where you feel like you have to be perfect in order to win those games. We've gone through this stat a million times. When the Royals score at least four runs, they're really, really difficult to beat. That's just league average. When the Royals are league average defensively, they're one of the best teams in baseball. The problem is they're just not league average offensively nearly enough, and that's really been their biggest problem so far this season. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the top story today in sports. The Game 7 of the NBA Finals has concluded. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they are the world champions, and we saw Kevin Durant. He has been traded to the Houston Rockets. We'll talk about both next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, let's talk about the top stories right now in the association. Today is an off day. Rob, what do you have planned for today? I'm currently in between shows right now. I have been watching a lot of documentaries lately. I just finished, actually this morning, I watched the one on Rob Ford, who was the former mayor of Toronto. It's called Trainwrecked. It is on Netflix. I will probably watch a documentary later today. What do you have planned for today with the off day? No Royals, no NBA, no hockey, no nothing today, just vibes.
First off, have you watched the Titanic?
I have not seen it yet.
That one needs to be in your queue. That one... Again, we talked about it. I enjoy a documentary where I'm learning something new, so I do want to try the Rob Ford one because I don't know that story, but it is on my list to watch. I'm currently rewatching The Bear in anticipation for the fourth season coming out later this week. But we are, outside of rewatching The Bear, we're looking for a new show. We finished Better Sister, which is on Amazon, and now we're just kind of seeking out a new show.
I do want to get your opinion on this, and I promise you we'll get to the NBA maybe at some point. Am I too old to watch Love Island?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Because I asked Vern this question when you were gone, and Vern said I'm not too old to watch the show. I have seen a lot of my friends watch it, and it is just, you know, everybody seems like they're watching on social media. I am kind of curious. I do have a little bit of FOMO. I do feel like I'm missing out on something. So you think I'm too old to watch Love Island?
I think you're too old to by yourself sit down and watch Love Island. Like, if you had a SO and they were like, I want to watch it, you could be like, oh, okay, no problem.
Okay.
I don't think you can be like, hey, you know what? No Royals tonight, so it's Love Island time for me solo. Okay. That can't
are
be
Are you
your
watching
move.
The show, Love Island?
We are not.
Okay.
That is not our brand of trashy television. But
what is your brand of trashy television?
Oh, it's like the Real Housewives type of shows.
How does that any different than what Love Island is?
This has a little bit of dating, the challenge vibes. No. We like just random nonsense that leads to drama that shouldn't exist. That's our speed.
Here we go. You know what? This sounds like you want to watch Love Island, but you're trying to like, oh, well, we only watch Real Housewives of the Potomac. Wait, what? Then you're already down the path. You might as well continue down the path. And
I'm not pushing the chips all in. I can only do so much trashy television, and this is not currently our go-to for trashy television.
People are saying Stick with Owen Wilson is pretty good.
I do want to see that. I know. You know what? That's an Apple TV show, so you know I'm going to watch it. I love Apple TV.
You love a Apple TV show. I think you've seen them all, actually.
I have seen. I just finished the John Hamm one. Yeah, if it's a show on Apple, I've probably watched it.
Yeah, the only time I was watching Apple TV was during the pandemic. I was just watching, you know, then just watching anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's when I watched that first season of The Morning Show, and I was like, it's like this the whole time. This show is sad. I don't want to watch this.
I also finished. I finished that whole show. I liked that show. I don't know why you're disliking that show. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean the whole show is just about how nasty Matt Lauer is. I was okay.
Someone is saying I guess Mobland is on my list on Paramount Plus.
Oh, Tom what's that Hardy. About? Yeah, I've heard Tom, about it. What is it about?
It's sitting in our queue right now. We have not started it, but so I don't know. So the text line will know better than me. But it seems like Tom Hardy and Pierce Brosnan are part of a mob family in Great Britain that has infighting. That's my understanding of the show, but it is on in my queue right now.
Yeah, no, text line 913-586. Right now, the shows that are people talking about the most are Waterfront. Is a lot of people that said that, Stick, and Mobland. I've seen Mobland come up. I haven't seen it. I haven't even seen a trailer for it, so I'd definitely be interested in at least checking out a trailer to see more what it's about. All right, let's get to a little basketball before we get out of here. I'm really, really hurt about what happened with Tyrese Halliburton, just as a sports fan. Now, I bet on the Pacers yesterday. I bet $10. So, I mean, I don't really care that much that they lost in that regard. Like, I don't care that I lost in that regard. But I'm just, that's just not the way that it's supposed to end. When you had the postseason that he had, Tyrese Halliburton turned into a star over the last 2 months. He has hit some big shots. He has carried a team to the NBA Finals. He had a game-winning shot in Madison Square Garden, maybe the most iconic basketball venue maybe in the world. You then did the same thing in Game 1 to start Game 7. You hit three threes. They called a timeout. You hit three threes. The next possession, you go out there and pop your Achilles. It was just so heartbreaking to see that, just because of how he played and just knowing what it means. And then his reaction. He instantly goes down, starts hitting the ground. I think he's emotional because he knows what it means more so than the pain of actually popping his Achilles. They had to carry him off the floor, and then he's crying. He's emotional. His pops is there. Just, oh my goodness, it tore me up yesterday to see that that's how his season was going to end. Ultimately, I think the better team won in Oklahoma City. I think that Indiana had a chance to certainly keep it close. I thought they mishandled the third quarter. There was a stretch there where TJ McConnell was the only player in the game for the Pacers that could score. Like, that's a scenario to me in which Pascal Siakam, you gotta play 30, 45 minutes or so. I couldn't believe how they handled the third quarter of that. I thought it was mismanaged. And Kevin Durant, I think Kevin Durant still has a lot of gas left in the tank. If you are adding a 37-year-old and you think that he is the missing piece to help you win an NBA championship, I think you are sadly misinformed. I really do. Look at the league right now. Everybody's under 30. You added an old guy and think that he's the difference on your team? I have serious, serious questions about it. All right, we are off today. We'll be back tomorrow as the Royals are back in action against the Tampa Bay Rays at Kauffman Stadium. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Have a great evening. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.